To hear the full episode, become a patron at patreon.com/deathpanelpod.
These aren't secrets to how we made some of these projects work. This information is precious, but it's not so precious that we can't share it back out so that people know, like, actually, harm reduction is a pretty essential part of how we get to abolition. And that in order to do that, we need to reclaim what harm reduction is from public health so that we understand what we really mean by a liberatory practice of harm reduction.
Welcome to the Death Panel. Patrons, thank you so much for supporting our work. You make all of this possible, and we couldn't do anything without you. And if you'd like to help us out a little bit more, share the show with your friends, post about your favorite episodes, pick up a copy of Health Communism at your local bookstore, pre-order Jules' new book coming in January called A Short History of Trans Misogyny, or request them both at your local library, and follow us at deathpanel_. I have a wonderful, wonderful guest joining me. Shira Hassan is the co-creator of Just Practice, a capacity-building project working at the intersection of transformative justice, harm reduction, and collective liberation. In 2022, Haymarket Books published Saving Our Own Lives, a liberatory practice of harm reduction, which is an anthology of essays from Shira featuring many collaborators, telling the stories of how sex workers, drug users, Black, Indigenous, and people of color, queer folk, trans, gender nonconforming, and two-spirit people are and have been building systems of change and support outside of the societal frameworks of oppression and exploitation. Shira is currently Transformative Justice Fellow at Interrupting Criminalization, founded by Maryam Kaba and Andrea Ritchie, where she runs the Transformative Justice Help Desk to support abolitionists in their organizing projects to end violence without the use of police and prisons. We are also really fucking honored to collaborate with Shira on one of our sessions for the Socialism Conference, which was the one called Decolonial Disability Politics and the Left with Jules and Jasbir Poir. Tragically, the audio recording for that one was ruined and made practically unlistenable by a technical difficulty. The backup failed. The internet wasn't starting at the beginning. It was almost a total disaster, but it was an absolutely beautiful session. And while we do have a basically unlistenable recording available that already passed through filters and edited to try and make it easier to understand, we do have a transcript for that session, which has become a beautiful written record of the conversation. And it was such a wonderful conversation, you know, a fantastic convening with three brilliant people who inspire me so much. So fortunately, despite the fact that that recording was not the fucking awesome episode of the podcast that I had hoped, Shira and I had already set a date to talk about some of the themes and ideas in Saving Our Own Lives and the book that I mentioned by Shira and many awesome collaborators. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to revisit some of the themes of that session that folks reached out to us and said, you know, they had really appreciated your talk, Shira, and really wanted to hear more from you on certain points. So I'm just glad that I get to talk to you twice in 1 month and feel very lucky today. Shira, welcome to the Death Panel. It's such an honor to have you on the show.
Oh my gosh, it's such an honor to be here.
I'm really excited to talk about Saving Our Own Lives today. It's almost a year anniversary of when it came out. Congratulations, by the way. I love the way that you opened the book. Literally, page 2, you write, quote, "This book is titled Saving Our Own Lives because that's what we did and do every day. And those of us who do not survive whisper the secrets of how to be safer to the next generation through cherished platforms like handwritten instructional zines and song, protest chants, and the stories our communities share through vast oral histories. This book is about what happens when those of us who are targeted by the intersections of structural violence survive, thrive, and build power together." And then a few pages later, you say, quote, "I hope that this book offers us a space to dislodge our shame and live into the beauty of our mess." And that last line, the idea of living into the beauty of our mess, is something that's really stuck with me since first reading this book last year. It's that living into part. It was a real aha moment. And Saving Our Own Lives actually came out the same month as Health Communism. It's also a collaborative effort. I think it's already done tremendous positive things as it's been out in the world for a year. And I was wondering if to sort of just start us off, Shira, what was your hope for this collection of offerings that Saving Our Own Lives brings to readers once it was out in the world and sort of had left your hands?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's such a good question. And thank you for that. I also want to say thank you so much for Health Communism and for this podcast. Right before, well, the book was already published, but it hadn't been released yet. A friend of mine, actually it was Mariam Kaba, sent me a copy of Health Communism, and I started flipping through it and I was like, whoa, like synchronicity in the world is so cool. And then I have like a lot of anxiety about, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but I have like a lot of anxiety about rereading Saving Our Own Lives. I keep it on a shelf that I can't see. Like I have it like protected so that all the contributors are protected in this like little sacred spot. But then I like pulled it out a few months ago in thinking about this podcast and thinking about the socialism conference that we were a part of. And I started like reading parts of Health Communism and parts of Saving Our Own Lives and was like, whoa, like it's so amazing how they are in conversation with each other and we didn't know each other. Mm-hmm. And so, and I wasn't like, I knew about Death Panel, but I wasn't, while I was writing Saving Our Own Lives, a lot of people sort of joke about the fact, and it's just also the truth, that I'm basically the Snuffleupagus of the movement. Like my ideal is for people to like wonder like, oh, was she there? Oh, I heard she might be, you know, like, and I don't actually want anyone to say that because I don't even want anyone to like know who I am. But that, you know, if I am your imaginary, you know, friend, that's, you know, my life goal is to both be your friend and also be like no one quite sure that I exist. And so I was, I say all this to say that I like had like full, you know, and I do struggle with agoraphobia and paranoia. And so when I was writing, my anxiety and panic attacks were so intense that I wasn't consuming anything but like, you know, probably like period romance pieces. You know, I was just like, so I just had to like only hit escape. But it was amazing how much the result was the books in conversation with each other. And I'm just so grateful to the way you frame some like really critical concepts that both like lit up light bulbs in my mind around some of the pieces that I was talking about and what I was seeing in my community. And then you sort of, I feel like, plugged in the light and in another part of my brain around like, oh, wow, like that really helps so many critical connections be made for me. So I'm just so grateful.
Wow, thank you so much. Yeah, honestly, I think Mariam is the one who told me about your book as well. And the first time I read through the book, I've read it too many times now, and it's okay. You don't have to be scared of revisiting it. You did a really good job. I mean, we all have nitpick our work when we go back, but I think you'll be happy with this one when you feel more comfortable with returning to it later. You know, it's one of those things where I read through it, I think, in one fucking sitting, and I went down and I immediately revised some of the sort of opening community rules, not rules, but like the groundings that we do at the beginning of some of the peer work that we do in the Death Panel mm-hmm. Discord server, just completely like found some language I'd been searching for literal years on this project that mm-hmm. I've been working on through your book. And this book is fucking fantastic though, Shira. And I'm rambling on, so I'll shut up so we can return to the question. But yeah, it's Saving Our Own Lives hit at the exact right moment, I think, too. And it's going to have, I hope, a tremendous impact on the way that, you know, our movements think through what health is, what care is, what harm is, and what risk actually is, too. Especially right now where we're seeing, like, a lot of, and we'll get into this, but we're seeing a lot of, like, harm reduction as a buzzword, harm reduction in public health.
Yeah. And yeah, to answer your question, I think, I mean, there's a number of of hopes, I think, for it. But the reason that I was like, okay, this is the intervention that I wanted to make. And I actually begged a number of people who agreed to write for the book, but I begged them to write the whole book. Like, I was like, you can do this. You are a writer, because I'm not a writer. I mean, I've written this now, but when I started writing it, I had never done anything like this before. And so I like begged other people in my life who had written and were more had writing practices and were, you know, and they were like, but I learned this and through our conversations, through our friendships, through our relationships. So I'm sorry, I think this is your job. And so I was like, damn it, like try. And I tried so hard. And so to like not actually do it. And then I was like, you know what, this is actually the intervention that I can offer lovingly. And there were two sort of like pieces, and then a number of others, but one was the reclamation that was long overdue, that I wanted to kind of set up, particularly for sex workers, BIPOC sex workers, trans activists, BIPOC activists, racial justice activists, abortion activists, like people who were drug users. Oh my God. Like, we are so written out of mainstream harm reduction as architects. Like, somehow this went from being a sex worker led, well, let's face it, sex workers have been erased a lot in a lot of harm reduction. But truthfully, on the street, this was a sex worker led, a trans sex worker led, a drug user led, led by folks who were impacted by multiple disabilities, who struggle with mental health, identify as mad. This was like our thing. This was how we were doing it, right? And like, and it's the sort of thing where like, yes, we needed this to be an intervention on public health in the 1980s. And yes, I do want harm reduction to be a part of public health. It absolutely should be. But what I don't want is to just rob it wholesale and write us out of the damn thing. But maybe also there's an advantage to that, which is that because they actually can't do it justice, those systems will never be able to honor the true body autonomy and self-determination that is a necessary component to practicing harm reduction in its like in the form that it was designed. Maybe that's a good thing then. And we need to actually like say, okay, let's call this public health harm reduction. You did it. Call it public health harm reduction. And now we want as much of that as possible. And also, let's not forget that there's this other critical, essential tool that we have had access to because our ancestors have been working on it for literal generations, that is liberatory and is a practice that's much richer, much deeper, belongs to us, was designed by us, centers us, and is markedly different from public health. And I really, really needed public health to take several seats, as to borrow a turn of phrase, because I just, it's so sad, you know, to see how they have stripped away the nuance, stripped away the dignity, and turned it into a service model, when it actually was a practice that was about how we literally saved our own lives. And so that was one piece that was, well, actually, those are both the pieces, the piece around intervening on public health while at the same time reclaiming our voice, our role, and understanding ourselves as architects in this design. And then it was also to take the time to like really think through, well, how does this apply? Because I have been involved in abolitionist work and anti-carceral work before I knew the language for that. I've been involved in transformative justice work from before and community accountability work before we had terms. For that, simply because young people involved in the sex trade, young people who are using drugs, we cannot access police. And social services had so many hoops and requirements that essentially were leading us back into carceral systems, either through psychiatry and sort of forced hospitalizations, or by sort of sending people back through the loop of children's services. There's so many ways that social services really works hand in hand with police and state systems. And those weren't things we could call on for help. And so we were solving problems using lots of different strategies, most of which fall under this idea of what harm reduction was, and that was coming directly from the generation before us, who was also setting up sort of new community strategies around housing and squatting, not that squatting is new, but it was new to us at the time. And were inviting us into those strategies when I was a young person. And so because I had access to that, I started to think broader around, like, what's the difference between fuck the police and prison abolition? And I wanted to kind of bring that in to conversations about abolition that we're having now, because I do think there's an important practice of harm reduction that so many abolitionists have that they aren't sort of naming as one of the secret ingredients. It's sort of like leaving vanilla out of the cookies.
And we don't so, want that. No.
No. And so, you know, I needed to make sure that we had these essential, we understood what are the essentials to what we were creating, so that people realize, like, these aren't secrets to how we made some of these projects work. Like, this information is precious, but it's not so precious that we can't share it back out, so that people know, like, actually, harm reduction is a pretty essential part of how we get to abolition, and that we need to, in order to do that, we need to reclaim that what harm reduction is from public health, so that we understand what we really mean by a liberatory practice of harm reduction.
To hear the full episode, become a patron at patreon.com/deathpanelpod. You'll get access to this and the rest of our catalog of patron-only episodes, and be the first to get a new patron episode every Monday when it drops. With love, the Death Panel.